Chapter 10. Fight on the Beaches. The next morning, 29th of May, Winston received some good news. Prime Minister Reynaud was feeling much better because Winston's message the evening before had greatly encouraged him. Winston realised that the strongest weapon he had to save Britain was hope. He immediately sent a message to his ministers, telling them always to use positive and encouraging words when speaking to their friends and colleagues about the war. At 11:30 a.m, the War Cabinet met again. But this time, Halifax did not try to change the minds of Winston or other ministers. He said he had received a telegram from the British ambassador in Rome, who said that Italy was definitely going to enter the war soon, but it was not certain when. The ambassador had told the Italian government that although Britain did not want war with Italy, if Italy made war, war would be met with war, and Mussolini alone would be responsible for this. The War Cabinet was also told about the latest news from Dunkirk, which was not good. 40,000 British troops had arrived in England from France, but the military leaders did not think that it was possible to save many more. The Luftwaffe had bombed Dunkirk and destroyed the harbour and several ships, so that now other ships could not enter the harbour. Lord Gort, the man in charge of the BEF, had sent a telegram asking what the British government wanted him to do if all hope was lost and he could no longer contact them. Winston said he had ordered Lord Gort to continue attacking the German army for as long as possible, to allow the British troops more time to escape from Dunkirk. But Halifax was not happy with this, and said that if Lord Gort wanted to retreat to save the lives of his own men, they should allow him to do this. Clement Attlee, the Labour leader, said that Lord Gort was an experienced soldier who could judge the situation for himself. So if the War Cabinet could no longer contact him, they should allow him to make his own decisions. Winston and the other members of the War Cabinet agreed, and after the meeting, Winston sent a telegram to Lord Gort. As soon as Winston came out of the meeting, he contacted his closest colleagues to say that it was very important to evacuate French troops as well as British from Dunkirk. That evening, after dinner with General Ironside and Clemmy at Admiralty House, he sent a telegram to Reynaud repeating that he wanted to evacuate as many French troops as possible. He said that after the troops had arrived back in Britain and the people of Britain had prepared themselves for a possible attack, they could start building up a new BEF. As Winston was going to bed, one of the officers working for the War Cabinet asked for 4 days' holiday so he could go to Dunkirk and help evacuate the troops. Winston immediately agreed and said, "I wish I were going with you myself." The next day, there was fog at Dunkirk, so the Luftwaffe could not continue bombing the harbour. But now it was only possible for small boats to enter it. Two men arrived in London to inform Winston about the latest situation. He was very surprised to see that one of them was a young relative of his, John Spencer Churchill, who was very wet and wearing his full battle uniform. He told Winston that the greatest need was for small boats to get the troops off the beaches and out to the bigger ships. The other man added that Lord Gort also believed that small boats could save the troops. At the next meeting of the War Cabinet at 5:30 p.m, Winston announced that 100,000 British soldiers had arrived back on the English coast, but the fog was causing problems and making it very difficult to evacuate more troops. Meanwhile, General Weygand, who was fighting with the French army near the River Somme, had asked if Britain could send more soldiers to help him. Winston replied that Britain would send help as soon as it could, but at the moment this was not possible. Winston always wanted to see things for himself, so he could learn what was happening. So he suggested that the next day he could go to Paris with the aim of explaining Britain's situation to Reynaud and the French leaders. He very much wanted French troops to be evacuated from Dunkirk with the BEF. At 8:30 a.m. on the morning of 31st of May, Winston left London, together with General Ismay and the Labour leader Clement Attlee. As their plane flew over France, they saw crowds of ordinary people trying to move away from the line of fighting as quickly as possible. At the meeting, Winston informed the French leaders that 165,000 men had now arrived in England. But Reynaud said that, although 150,000 of the 220,000 British troops in Holland, Belgium and France had been evacuated, only 15,000 of the 200,000 French troops had been evacuated. He said that if more French troops were not able to escape, French public opinion could turn against the British. Winston replied that the British government had ordered the BEF to evacuate, and he had come to France to make sure the French troops had received the same orders. Reynaud thanked the British military forces for the wonderful job they had done in evacuating the troops in Dunkirk. However, he was certain that Germany would soon attack the French troops in the south and asked if the British could send fighter planes to protect them, together with soldiers. Winston said this would not be possible until he knew how many British troops had arrived safely back in Britain. He tried to make Reynaud feel stronger and more positive about the situation. He said that the British people were not afraid of an attack by the Germans and were ready to fight them in every small village, but to do this, they needed soldiers to help them. Winston said it was very important for Britain and France to work closely together if they were going to succeed in beating the enemy. And even if one country was beaten, the other had to continue fighting. Clement Attlee supported Winston and said he agreed with everything he had said. Attlee added that the British people now realised the danger and that if the Germans won the war, everything they had built up would be destroyed because the Germans killed not only men, but ideas. After the meeting, the British ambassador to France sent a message to Halifax saying that Winston's visit to France had been extremely valuable. Other people in London heard about the meeting too and were happy it had gone well. At the meeting of the War Cabinet the next day, 1st of June, Winston announced that almost 225,000 troops had now arrived in Britain from Dunkirk. Halifax met with the American ambassador, Joseph Kennedy, who said that the American government thought that the British military forces had done a great job in evacuating the troops, and it was a good chance for Winston to ask President Roosevelt again for warships to help Britain. However, bad news came. The fog had disappeared at Dunkirk, so the Luftwaffe were able to start bombing the harbour again. 17 ships were destroyed, including 4 valuable warships, and 10 more ships were badly hit. But Winston said that the ships must continue to evacuate the troops for as long as possible. Some British people and MPs were beginning to lose hope because the newspapers were reporting on Hitler's plans to invade Britain. Also, Britain had lost a lot of its equipment. The French had lost 80% of their army, and many French people felt that Britain had not supported France enough. So Duff Cooper, Minister of Information, spoke on national radio to give the British people the good news that 276,030 troops had arrived safely in England. By noon on 3rd of June, the news was even better, as 292,380 troops had come back. It was time for Winston to speak to Parliament and the British people again. But he had not finished writing his speech. He knew that it was very important to speak from his heart and encourage the British people to stay positive about the war, even when there was bad news. When writing, Winston would try several words and groups of words before choosing which were the best. He would read the speech again and again and make changes with a red pencil. Then practice it while walking around the room, speaking sometimes softly and sometimes loudly. At 3:40 p.m. on 4th of June 1940, Winston made one of the best and most famous speeches of his life. He started by describing the situation in France over the past weeks and was able to give the good news that now 330,000 troops had arrived safely home. Winston spoke about the terrible crimes of the Nazis and the brave actions of those who had lost their lives defending Dunkirk. He said that Hitler was probably planning to invade Britain, but he also reminded people that Napoleon and other dictators over the centuries had never succeeded in this. He said that he was very confident that the British people would again prove themselves able to defend our island home and would never surrender to a dictator. This was what everyone in Parliament and the British government had decided, together with the British people. Britain and France would help each other to defend their countries to the end. And although much of Europe had fallen to the Nazis, Britain would never lose heart. "We shall go on to the end. We shall fight in France. We shall fight on the seas and oceans. We shall fight in the air. We shall defend our island. We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender." In this speech, Winston touched the hearts and minds of Parliament and the British public. By using the word "we" so many times, he gave the British people the strong message they needed, that they would not be alone, but that he would be with them, at their side, every step of the way, ready to fight to the death if necessary. Afterwards, Winston said that the people of Britain had the heart of a lion, and all he had done was to give them a voice. When he made this speech, Winston had been Prime Minister for only 25 days, and during that time he had met some difficult problems, not only because of the war, but also from some of his own political colleagues. But now everyone was ready to support him. Although the future was not certain, at that moment, in their darkest hour, he brought hope to the people of Britain. Penguin Readers, Darkest Hour, Anthony McCartan, Level 6, retold by Anne Collins, Series Editor Sorrel Pitts, read by Jenny Bryce. Copyright Penguin Books Limited, 2019.